that. All right. Praise you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, for an awesome, awesome night tonight, because we're going to praise and worship with you, Lord, and it's going to be awesome because your spirit is going to be moving tonight through all of us, Lord. We heard that great prophecy today by Kent Christmas, and Lord, we know that great things are on the horizon. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for these things that you've talked through Kent Christmas in Jesus' name, and Tim Dixon, all the rest of them too, Father. Praise you, Father, for the words you've given us and words of knowledge and prophecies and all of those great things that you let us know, Lord, what's going to happen. And we thank you for it, Father. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive the things that you're going to put out there for your true believers. And we praise you for it, Father. Keep us on that narrow road, Lord. Don't let us fall off of that, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing it. Lead us by your spirit. Guide us. Direct us. Keep a watch before our mouths to speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for all the healings and the deliverances and all the prayers that were answered these last couple of days. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for an open heaven that we have tonight, and that all who pray tonight and believe will receive. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your blood covering against any kind of pestilence or any kind of anything bad coming our way, because your angels are right there to protect us. Thank you, Father, for that, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? What about a praise report? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like for everybody to stand in faith with us. We're looking at just some unprecedented, really high temperatures here up in the Pacific Northwest. I think one day the forecast high is 117, and it's not unusual for us to go 5-6 degrees even higher than what they forecast, and hardly cooling off at all at night. So Father, And this is forecast to be going on with it to be well in the hundreds for about 10 days.
Yeah, let me break in here. Tomorrow, 102, I'm just going to go through the high temps for the next few days. And bear in mind, these temperatures are lower than what we get in our area. 102, 111, 114, 117, 109, 106, 106. 106, 107, 106, 101, then it goes down to 97, and we'll still be over 100. So that gives you some idea what we're looking at.
Sounds like you're in the Sahara, Barry.
Yeah, it's we could use some cool air and some rain.
Does it get cool at night?
We'll be down around 65 when it's that hot, 70, something like that. It's about as cool as it'll get.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we command that hot air to go away from Barry and Marilyn, that it's going to be right there where they are. It's going to be a lot cooler in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this free energy pretty quick, because those people are going to need it there with that air conditioner going full speed. And we thank you, Lord, for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that there's no humidity there that would compound the problem. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Anybody else want to pray?
I'd like to add to that. I was looking at Spokane, and it's not going to be quite as hot, but where I grew up, about 100 miles from Barry, Maryland, it's going to be in those same temperature ranges. And so I want to pray the Lord would bring some moisture in and protect everybody, their bodies and their property from any fires that may erupt because of this intense heat. So thank you, Lord, for watching over your elect, especially our loved ones. And throw Malcolm in there too, in his area. It's going to be hot there, I'm sure. And thank you for watching over everybody and protecting us and not allowing any fires to get out of hand and cause personal damage to people and their property. So thank you, Lord, for watching over that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Lana. I believe you had yours up. I'll get right back to you, Missy. Did you want to pray, Lana?
No, I had a prayer request. So if Missy wanted to pray, she can go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Missy.
Well, Julie popped up there. Weather warfare. Well, I just pray against that. I pray against any plot schemes and nefarious plans of the enemy. If this is part of weather warfare, we just command their instrumentation, whatever it is they do, null and void, and we command it to break in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing them. Whether this is weather warfare or not, we just thank you, Lord, for sending forth your angels and taking this whole weather warfare stuff down wherever it is done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Matter of fact, we command the weather right there where Barron, Marilyn, and Malcolm and any other UBMers are be below 100 in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. We believe it and we know it's going to happen, Lord, because you are wanting to show your glory amongst your people. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you that the blood covers over them and it provides a good shade in Jesus' name against all of this hot weather in the name of Jesus. We believe it. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God. We see relief tomorrow. In Jesus' name.
Rain.
It's going to be no 102. It's going to be 92. In Jesus' name. All right, Lana.
I wanted to ask for support and agreement and prayer for my neighbor's friend. My neighbor, Anna. We've been spending a lot of time together, and she happened to share with us today that she has a friend who is quite a burden to the people around her due to the fact that she is living with a sin that she is being tormented for. She and her husband had lied to their church about not sleeping together prior to their wedding. And unfortunately that was not the case. And so they are now afraid to come forward with this for the fear of man. And this woman, her name is Nadia, is just people. A lot of her friends can't bear to listen to her because the weight of her negativity is so loaded that even my friend Anna says that whenever I talk to her, I just feel depressed. I have no ability to pray. I can't help her. And I've gotten to the point where I have asked her to stop telling me things. And so I just wanted to pray for this woman, Nadia, because she is suffering due to this lie and she can't be set free because of her fear of the church and of what man will do to her and her family. Her family is falling apart. I don't know any details about her personally. So Father God, we lift up Nadia to you and we ask you to come into this family, Father God, and free this woman, Nadia, and her husband from this bondage of sin, Father God, that they are hiding from from man, Father God. I ask you to set them free from this bondage of fear to man. I also ask that you do a work in their lives and set them free of this church system that is keeping them in this bondage so that they can't come forward to repent and to be free of this sin in order to take part, Father God, in more truth that you can reveal to them and blessing that you can pour out to them, Father God. My heart goes out to this woman as she suffers, Father God, and she is trying to find peace and a shoulder to cry on, and she ends up being a burden more than anything else, Father God. I don't know much else. And I'm asking Father God that you continue to work in my heart to lead me to pray as necessary for this woman, Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I also want to ask for agreement regarding Ian. I had an opportunity to share with her Sovereign God, and I shared copies with her of a few chapters in Russian. And she looked very interested and very willing to read them. So I encouraged her, of course, to share them with her husband. So Father God, I pray that when they do read these chapters, that it is in your timing, Father God, and that they would, their hearts would be open and ready to accept. They acknowledge that the church system is not doing it for them. They haven't found a home church here locally since they're new to town, Father God. And I know that you're putting this disquiet into their hearts. Things don't seem to be right and they can't put their finger on it, Father God. And so I'm asking that you use this mighty teaching, mighty revelation, Father God, to open up their hearts and their minds to the truth of who you are and just how sovereign and involved you are in our lives. And may they also use this book and message to spread forth the good news to their beloved family members who are, might be suffering from similar fears, similar disquietness, and whatever else may be brought to their attention that is putting them, taking away their ease in the church system, Father God. I thank you for doing all this. I thank you for bringing Anna into my life. And Father God, I thank you for whatever plans you have set forth to use me, my beloved husband, and our children to bring the good news into their own lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Anna. In Jesus' name, we're looking for a new life here, one that knows the truth and wants to more of it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for touching her heart, touching her spirit, just like you did all of us, Lord, when we read Sovereign God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Dave Nelson, I think, was first, Missy. Y'all come up, but his was a little bit. His was just a fraction of a second ahead of yours.
I just had a question for Lana about that couple. Apparently, they came forward with somebody and told them about this, that they had, you know, had a sexual relationship before they were married. So they did confess their sin, if they think it's sinful, right?
I'm under the understanding that she has shared this with friends, her right. girlfriends, including Anna.
Right.
I don't think that they think that that's a form of confession, because if they are in the church system that I've been in, then the only form of confession you can have to be set free is to go to the brethren of the church where you're a member. And from then on, you're looking at excommunication, public disgrace, and so on.
So they don't recognize the authority of Jesus in confession of sin.
Correct. They're Christians by name, as far as I know, but not necessarily believers. Otherwise, I don't think that would be, they would have this issue right now.
So the issue is they haven't been told the truth about salvation.
Amen. And I'm a little hesitant as to how do I go praying about her, since I don't know her at all. It's just my heart went out to Anna, when she shared with me this burden of this lady.
Well, we'll pray then. Lord, free these people from this bondage of religion, Lord. Give them the truth. Find somebody that they'll listen to that will set them free. They know that you paid the price for their sins. She confessed her sin. It didn't say who you confessed your sins to. It doesn't say you have to have a hierarchy of a church member to do this with. If you confess it to the body of Christ, it's been done, and that's wonderful. I mean, she's set free. But Lord, we're coming against this bondage of religion, this religious spirit right now that's holding them down and not allowing them to know the freedom they have in you, and that their sins are forgiven, that they've confessed it. They're married, and they're no longer under this bondage of not being married and having sexual relationships outside of marriage. So, Father, thank you for hearing our prayer on this, but give them the unleavened bread. Lord, open their eyes, grab their Bible and start reading it. to find out the truth of the gospel and that you set them free. Lord, we ask that you take the bondage off their eyes, off their ears, off their mind, and allow this word to come through. We bind Satan now from hindering this process, allowing them to hear the truth of the gospel, to understand it. And Lord, send somebody their way again that knows the gospel, and they'll listen to it, and they can trust, and they can believe the truth, the good news. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Let us do something else. What's the girl's name?
Her name is Nadia.
Nadia. Okay. We break the fear of rejection off of her right now in the name of Jesus. We break that power of that demon that's on her. And we thank you, Lord, that like Dave said, if she's confessed her sin to another believer, then she is free of that. She is no longer under condemnation. We break condemnation off of her too, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I just got a question.
Okay.
Thing. I'm just wondering, if the church has like certain, like things that you gotta like say, like before you get married, you have to say, to those who marry you or the church leadership or whatever. No, we haven't, you know, had, premarital sex or anything like that. I mean, is there like anything like that, that goes on, Lana?
Yeah. That's what happened to them, is they got, like a short counseling session before marriage. And that's when they lied to the pastor that was marrying it, that had, or ended up marrying them. They lied to him that they did not have premarital sex. It's pretty traditional. Theo and I went through something like that back in our day too.
Okay. Well, okay, then, Michael, my question would be, if they, whoever they told this lie to, shouldn't they go to that person, those people, and tell them, well, I lied to you? Isn't that part of confession and repentance?
Yeah, they should. They really should.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the understanding. Yeah, that's the understanding that they would have to do that. And since they were married before the church, they'd probably get taken out before the church and it would be made public. And then,
well, that's not scriptural.
That's not scriptural, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not forgiving them.
That's only if they're still in some kind of sexual sin.
That's right.
And that's if you wouldn't repent of it.
So if the church does that, the church is wrong. It's unscriptural in itself.
Yes.
Matthew 18 and 18.
That's
what had me, that's what had me a little bit confused as to how to go praying for them, because I'm familiar with the traditions of what happens in such cases. So unfortunately there's that other aspect that'll intervene.
So you don't have much of an opportunity to talk to her, or you know her very well, I guess?
Well, Anna and I were neighbors and we talk a lot, and I could find out, because I did go as far as to say that, you know, if the couple does not want to go, and my husband was there when we were talking to Anna about this, when she was sharing this with us this afternoon, we did say that if she doesn't want to go to the church brethren or pastor, the couple could easily find somebody who is a mature Christian, a brother in the Lord, who they could confess this to, and somebody that could help guide them as to how to go about this in the process. But our understanding is, in the typical Slavic culture, if this brother happens to be part of the church in any way, they would follow this same process of, you take it to the pastor, you confess, they take you before the church, they make it public, and they excommunicate you for a certain amount of time based on whatever the brothers deem necessary. And there's just this whole humiliating process you got to go through because you sinned. And that's unfortunately the fear.
Yeah, I can't blame them for keeping it, you know, because they know that they're going to go ahead and broadcast it out there to the church. That's crazy. That's unscriptural in itself, and somebody needs to bring it up to them.
Yeah, I would ask them, let her know that, or if you've possibly, that they have to have scriptural basis for what they're doing. And if they're doing something outside the scriptures, then they're sinning also. And then they have to excommunicate themselves for sinning that way.
Sure. really? It's the Pentecostal denomination of Theo's. We're just in separate parts of the house here. So Theo's listening in. So I'm thinking maybe we'll take it to Anna and her husband and let them know what we've discussed here and see if Anna can get in touch with them. And because when she told me about this, I really felt it hit my spirit really hard. And I really wanted to bring it into prayer because having been brought out of that system in that church and having suffered for various reasons, this kind of treatment goes on for various sins. It doesn't have to be adultery or premarital sex. It depends on which church you're in. They'll give it to you to put you back in line. So it's just heavy on my heart, and I'd love to help them in the name of the Lord. Right. And so,
I know,
like I said, my husband's listening in, so maybe he'll reach out to you guys for more advice once we can find out how we can get in touch with Nadia and her husband and maybe help them out.
Yeah, you guys can work out some more details. I'm sure Michael and David would love to help them out, too.
Julie says, take her out and stone her. Is that what talking about, Julie? What are you talking about, girl?
It sounds to me like that's what the church would be doing to this woman.
Yeah, it does.
You know? God bless her. Thank you, Father. Amen. Set her free from this heaviness, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Pat. Let's get out of this throwing business.
We can't get out of it right yet. I'm going to listen. I think it was last meeting. Somebody said something that triggered something I got to thinking. And the Lord showed me that I have been harboring unforgiveness to an individual that we explain the situation first, but anyway, I bought a used vehicle, and when we went to buy the vehicle, the salesman showed us a fax, what do you call it, fax report or whatever it is, based upon, you know, that tells you if there's the vehicle's had any accidents or anything like that. And it didn't, and he kind of flashed it at us and put it down. And then anyway, I bought the pickup, and it started leaking through the roof or through somewhere it was leaking and created a bunch of problems. But through the 6 or 8 or 10 months that I had the vehicle, I noticed some things on the vehicle which led me to think that it had been wrecked or it had been damaged in some sort and parts were replaced, etc. So my family, shall we say, was not happy about the thing. And so my wife got a little irritated, basically, and believed that this guy ripped us off, basically. That's the bottom line. And at the time, I didn't feel anything about it. I didn't think about it one way or the other. Just, we took it back in, basically, and I ended up buying another vehicle. But I never really felt anything about it. I never thought about it that much. But the next time I went in to service the newer vehicle I got, I saw the guy there. And my wife had mentioned something, you know, that I have this fly flying around me here. My wife mentioned that she didn't want that person to sell us another vehicle or whatever. And so we got another salesman bought the car, etc. Well, again, 6 months or a year later, I went in to get my car serviced, and I'd seen this guy in there, and I felt very uncomfortable with the person there. But I never really thought about it because I thought, I didn't really feel like I had any anger or against this person or whatever. But there was this feeling that was there. And it almost felt like that I received it through my family, you know, that they were angry about the situation. And I kind of just nonchalantly or let it be here in my family, in my presence, you know. So I never really thought about it, but I was very experienced as kind of an uncomfortable experience with seeing that and seeing this person. And so I believe it must be unforgiveness. But so I don't really see it clearly, but I see the results of it. Let me just put it that way. But anyway, so I bring it up today, and I confess it as sin. I confess it as unforgiveness and to the Lord, and I ask Him to forgive me for harboring this thing, and to give me wisdom that if He wants me to go and confess or communicate or restore that relationship of some sort, or to repair that in some form or another. But that being said, I think that is still in my family. So anyway, I'm confessing that for myself. I'm going to confess that for my family as well, and that sin of unforgiveness. And Lord, I just confess it here before the body today, Lord, to shed light on this situation. I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me. I thank you, Father, that you've given us your word that if we confess our sin of unforgiveness before you, you will cleanse us and forgive us and cleanse us from our sin. And so I thank you for that cleansing, Lord. And I'm asking you, Father, to bring forth this clearance, this cleansing of my family as well. And I'm not quite sure how to go from this point to that point and pray for my family or exactly how to approach that or go about that. However, I feel, Lord, that there's got to be something maybe that I need to say or communicate or meet with this person or do something. I'm not really sure what it is. So, Lord, I just ask you to open up my eyes and my ears and give me wisdom and guide me. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the cleansing. I thank you for your direction and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and ask you to fill me with your word and the Holy Spirit and guide me into the next steps that I need to take regarding this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, Malcolm, go ahead. Go ahead, Missy, if you want to pray.
Yeah, I wanted to. Oh, I can wait, Missy, except I was. Yeah.
Well, hi, Missy. What are you doing?
Malcolm, were you going to say anything having to do with what passed?
He just muted himself.
Okay.
Go ahead if you want to pray.
Well, Father, I know what it's like to be going through what Pat's going through. And you know, sometimes we think people know that they've sold us a something. And we're dishonest about the condition of the vehicle, and in Pennsylvania, it's very it's a very sticky thing, I think, with inspections and all that other stuff and whatever. And you know, salesmen may not have known that, you know, that a person that does inspection was told to push it through and so on and so forth, you know. So, so Father, you know, just give Pat words of wisdom and how to speak to his family. And as far as Pat, if this guy doesn't know that you feel the way that you feel like he sold, deliberately sold you something that he knew was something wrong with it, unless he knows you feel that way, then I don't see that you have to say anything to him. You just, that's between you and the Lord to, you know, repent for having unforgiveness. So that's just my thought on that. And Father, just give Pat wisdom in knowing how to deal with this. And just express, helping to express to his family, you know, we just need to forgive and go on. And that's just the way of the world, you know. That's all they know how to do in the world. Those are of the world that are unbelievers. And we need to forgive them and pray for them. So thank you, Lord, for putting that in Pat's heart and his family. Heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. And it's so, you know, earlier when I talked about the thing with Lana, that wasn't the main reason why I raised my hand. That was just some thoughts, but I wanted to bring up the same subject again about my vehicle. And I'm like, you know, we prayed Tuesday about my vehicle because I heard this sound, and I'm like, nope, I don't receive that. It's fixed and blah blah blah. And kind of from the get-go, I was kind of having this feeling that the Lord was wanting Merle and I both, and I know I can't do it on my own, believe for my vehicle to be fixed rather than going to man. So we got in the RAV tonight and Merle put it in reverse. And he hears this noise. He goes, "What's that?" I said, "Nothing, it's the devil." And he was talking about it, and he said what he thought it was. And I said, "Really?" I thought that would be a noise that would come from the front. He goes, "No, that's something else." I like, well, that's how stupid I am about vehicles. Anyway, so I'm like, I said, "I'm tired of putting money into vehicles. As far as I'm concerned, the Lord's going to fix it." I said, it's just like the Lord's just, you know, that's what I'm just going to keep saying to Merle. The Lord's fixed it, you know. As far as I'm concerned, he's fixed it. And I told him, I said, "I'm tired of going the way of man." I said, "The Lord's fixed it, you know." So he didn't really say much anything. So I want to pray about that. So Lord, I know you want to get glory and honor and praise in this. And I think what you've shown me is that I know it bothers me, but I think it bothers Merle more that all this money gets being put into this vehicle. And I've kind of sensed that you wanted to do something in him, that it wasn't just about me, Lord. So I just ask you to put faith in his heart. And I'm reading Faith for All Things, Lord, and help me to find testimonies to read tomorrow for faith on vehicles. And I have already expressed to him, Lord, you know that I've read a lot of people's testimonies about you fixing their vehicles for them. So anyway, Lord, I just thank you for putting faith in him and trust in you and not the ways of man. And Lord, down the road in the tribulation, especially mid-tribulation, you ain't going to get anything fixed man's way. It's going to be all your way. And just praise you and thank you, Lord, for hearing me and answering me. And for your glory and your honor and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank you, Lord. That noise is gone and the problem's fixed because your mechanics are on it. In Jesus' name.
Your angel, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. All right, Geneva.
Okie dokie. Are you guys ready for something good?
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
So I've been wondering why I'm tired here lately. I've been really tired and just like low energy. Well, earlier I took a pregnancy test and I am pregnant.
Okay. Praise God.
So the Lord has blessed me, and at first I was so overwhelmed because I didn't expect it, you know. So first baby, I was just like, so many emotions just hit me all at once. I just started crying, and then I started praising the Lord. And before I took the test, I'd opened up to I opened up to a scripture, and it said, "Hold on, I got it right here." It was, basically, "And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little, shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you." And so then I took the test and I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh. So anyways, I told Morgan. Morgan's like, but he's excited too. So we've been telling family. I know usually most people are like, they like to wait like a few weeks or something before they start telling people, but I was like, I don't have to do that because, you know, I don't receive that. And I know that God is going to make the whole entire pregnancy and the labor is going to be amazing, and it's going to be quick and fast, and God's going to give me strength, and I'm not bound by that curse, you know. So anyways, I just want to thank the Lord. But yep, there will be a baby.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for that little cowboy when he comes. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Says it's gonna be a boy. It might be a girl, Michael.
That's, I would love a girl. Said.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Y'all heard my prayer. All right, go ahead, Claire.
Well, I can't trump that, okay? Like, I mean, just give me a few weeks. Let's see, okay? But I'm going to pray for you, Geneva. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Morgan and Geneva with this beautiful baby. And you do all things well, Lord, and every good gift comes from you. And we just bless that baby with the perfection in Christ, and we bless that baby with a home in Geneva's womb that is going to give it everything it needs. And Father, we bless Geneva and Morgan with a faithful support group that is going to be praying them on to the finish line of the preparation of parenthood, so that when she is in labor, Lord, she is filled with the Holy Spirit and she does not conform to the dirty knowledge of this world, but she is renewed by the mind of Christ, and she doesn't experience the effects of the curse on her. And that afterwards, this baby will be nourished perfectly and easily, and it will sleep well, and it will be a good weight. And we just bless every facet of this journey for Morgan and Geneva, Lord. Thank you so much.
Oh, amen.
Praise your holy name.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Listen, I've got a question here, ladies. Do we have to call it labor? Why can't we call it development?
Let's call it joy.
Joy. Yeah, I like that even better. Thank you, Lord, for Geneva's joy is going to be so joyful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, then
anything. Go ahead.
I have a car testimony, which might help for our brothers and sisters. Long ago, before I was a mom, I had a sad little car. And then Rian said we needed to get like a super okay mom car. So my dad was selling his sedan. And so we bought it off him at a good price. And we managed to... I like took all the money I could because I had just learned about David and stuff, and you know, you can't have debt and you can't have two masters and all of this. So I took all the money I could and I took all the clients I could, and I like paid as much as I could for this car to be paid off just before Mika's birth. And the weird thing with this car is that hijacking and that kind of stuff, carjacking is rampant in South Africa. So every car has like an immobilizer. But the car would, something would happen to it. And whether you stuck the immobilizer in or not, like this car just, it would not start at random times. Like I would be in strange places and the car wouldn't start, or I'd be somewhere, I don't know, it just wouldn't start. And every time this happened, Rian was in a meeting, like every time. And I'm not talking like, oh, once or twice, probably upwards of 50 times this happened to me while we had the car. And I just could not understand this, but every time, and I was like a super baby Christian, I would just put my hand on the dash and I'd be like, be healed in Jesus' name. And I'd feel so silly, but I just, you know, do this thing. And then the car would work. I couldn't believe it. And then sometimes it wouldn't work. And then I'd get angry. And then I'd phone my dad and I'd be like, you sold us a dud car. Like, how could you sell us a dud car? And he's like, it never did that when I had the car. And you know, and we'd have this thing on the phone, and then I'd have to calm down and repent and get my heart right and then be healed in Jesus' name. And then this car would work. And that's just how it was. Then I can't remember what happened, but a few years went by and I then got an even nicer car, and Rian got stuck with this dud car that worked if you had Jesus' name, right? So it did the same thing to him. And then he just, miracle, like such sheer wisdom, he's like, let's just take the immobilizer out. And no one in South Africa wanted to take the immobilizer out because that is like a super, like that's wrong. Like your car will get hijacked if you don't have an immobilizer. And he was like, no, but our car's not going to get hijacked because this is the car that God's provided for us. And so he found some dodgy guy to take the immobilizer out, and that car just worked like a charm. But we had the faith that it wouldn't get stolen. So there's two testimonies there, and run with him. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for your faith in all of us. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Awesome testimony. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I think my comment is out of context. It's been, 20 minutes? So I think I better just to let it go.
Was that a confession?
I don't know. I can't tell.
No, I don't want to bring up a subject that's already kind of closed. I just had a comment regarding the discussion 20 minutes ago, and it's not really pertinent right now. And I'm not.
Oh, offended, I'm sorry, so. Malcolm.
No. You're talking
about Geneva?
Yeah. Well, about the situation with. Okay, I'll just say it because I just didn't want to bring it up again if I didn't have to. But
well, you don't have to.
I feel like
Nobody's twisting your arm.
Well, I'll just say it. It's no big deal, I don't think.
Okay.
If somebody lies to somebody, it says in Psalms 132 that God values his name above his word above his name. And I think integrity is really important, even though there would obviously be severe consequences. I think it would be best to make things right with whoever that individual is that they lied to.
Okay.
Just bite the bullet. I really think otherwise they're going to have that hanging over them for, you know, forever.
Yeah, you may be right. I believe it.
You know, we could pray about that for that those people to do that, and that pastor, whoever it is, has a gracious heart to forgive.
I would also, if I were them, I would also just point out that it's not scriptural to bring it up to the whole church because you're not living in sin.
That's right.
I mean, I would really, you know, and if they kick you out over that, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe dust off your shoes.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, because they're not in the wrong in what they're doing by confessing that. That they're in the right by confessing. So we're all supposed to do that.
Amen. Okay, Will or Louise, go ahead, brother, sister.
No, I was just wondering, I was just wondering if you go and confess that sin, that whole church is going to sin, and then they'll have to be there, if unless they're prayed for and the Lord gives the word. I think just to get a word from the Lord before you do something like that, because the church will sin in the fact that they will talk about them and they'll get such a penalty. So it's a strange situation. You like put a curse on them because they'll have to react to what you've told them. And then they'll have to shun you and throw you with rotten fruits or whatever. And so I don't know if it's the right thing to do unless the Lord gives you a word to do it.
Okay. All right. There's something else there. That's it. There's something to mull about.
It's if you confess... Michael. Now, if you confess it to them, they are going to react to it and they're going to sin terribly. And then they are going to have to bear that penalties. And that's it's hectic penalties to what the church will do if it's like they're going to pay heavy penalties, and that's sort of against love, you know, to go and put that penalties on them because they'll shun you from the church. Then they're going to have to bear that penalties, which is very strange, you know. It's a strange thing.
Well, let me ask you this, you know, just sitting here thinking about it. If this is something they've been doing all along and they're already into sin, you know, how are you going to make them any more into sin?
Yeah, it's like it's pointless, you know, to go. For me, in a way, I don't know what the Lord's opinion is. So it's just like the idea of confession is to confess your sins. God is faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
That's right.
This is now go and confess something. There's no more forgiveness of sins. There won't be a cleansing. You have to bear that penalty. It's so unforgiving. And then that whole church will, in their ignorance, pay that penalties. And it's like you're going to go to that weak church and give them a beating, which they're not ready. They're going to react to the word that they know, and then they're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
Which is like you're going to forcefully put a heavy penalty on them, on the children of that family. You know, the children, they're not even aware, but they will bear that penalties. It's not in love, I don't think, because if the parents start sinning, the kids are going to do all sorts of things, and they're not even, it's a big question for the Lord, I guess.
Amen. Be led by your conscience. Amen.
I thought Jesus paid the price for those sins.
Yep. Go ahead, Theo.
So all this talk reminded me of a good friend of mine that I used to go to church with. His younger brother is one of my best friends and was I was his best man at the wedding. And during that time, his older brother, this guy's name is Victor, he was caught with beer, I think, or something like that, and confessed to, you know, getting drunk a couple times. So they basically shunned him, but kept him in the church and kept him in unforgiveness, even though he had repented multiple times in front of the whole church, just opening his sins up and crying. He was torn up about it, and he repented over and over again to this church. They would never forgive him. And this went on for a long time. And eventually, another brother in the youth had sinned with another woman and fornicated, and they forgave him in like a week or two. His uncle was a deacon in the church and basically had the connections to get freed up. So as soon as he was released from his punishment, this guy Victor, which had a supposedly small sin, was not forgiven for a long period of time, months and months. So he completely left the church. So I just want to pray for this guy. I know he's carrying a lot of unforgiveness, I'm sure, towards the church members, which this church is no longer even, it doesn't even exist. It fell apart years ago. no surprise there, right? So Father, I just want to lift up Victor to you. You see him in his life where he's at. He's still in his sins, and he's given up on the church because they failed him, Father. Even though you forgave him, we didn't have the wisdom to direct his path and to help him and to witness to him. Father, please place him in my path somewhere. Maybe I can run into him. I don't know of a way to contact him. I know he's still in the area somewhere, but he doesn't attend any church, and he's living a life that is just without you, Father. And that's a sad way to go about in this life. There's nothing to look forward to except destruction. So, Father, I lift up Victor. I bind up any demons that are keeping him in condemnation or unforgiveness or this root of bitterness that may be growing up in him. Who knows? I just pray, Father, that you show him your light, bring him in to the full gospel, and bring him back to into believing status, Father. We pray for Victor, and we love Victor, and he was this great guy, very good friend of mine, and just please reconnect us, Father, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him into the true gospel and not this so-called sick gospel that they've been putting out there. In Jesus' name. Unforgiveness is what that is. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, David.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for with Phil on that and join him. Lord, there's many people been hurt from the church that we call church, and they don't know what they're doing. They're not ordained from you. They don't have the spirit. They have the letter. So, Lord, many people that in these situations have been hurt, Lord, and we're asking for this with Victor, that we're covering him with the blood of Christ right now, Lord. And we want his mind to be renewed in you. We want to speak life back into this man, your life, Father, your life, Jesus. And we're also asking that open up avenues so we can reach these people, because that's what our job is to do. Our job is to go out and reach the lost and bring them back into the kingdom, the ones that have been hurt from this disastrous church that's out there that's ruining so many lives. So, Father, thank you here in our prayer. Allow this to open up. Allow us to give that covering to them and that grace and that love, showing that you do love and care for them, no matter what they've been told. and that they can confess their sins all day long with us, and we'll receive them, and we won't have any condemnation for them. We'll help them overcome. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we just ask supernaturally that you, that Theo and this brother Victor get together here in the next few days. And we praise you, Father, for giving Theo the wisdom and the words to say to him that would draw him into the true gospel. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. We pray for Victor, Lord. We break the power of Satan off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, for the work that you're going to do in him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, Will.
No, it's so bad. It's like closing the door to heaven. Like closing the door of heaven for so many people. Like, you've committed an unforgivable sin there, and now that sin is unforgivable. You cannot, you have to be shunned from the church. And it's like ignoring so many scriptures that says that guy that repented from marrying his, or being with his mother-in-law, and he repented, and Paul said in the next letter, now he has forgiven, he's repented, forgive him, because he's repented from that sin. It's just, for me, it's like, I just gotten a feeling, I'm not sure if it's all right, correct, but like, she wants to grow in the Lord, that lady. She wants to do restitution. It's like she wants to get that right so she can grow in the Lord. And you know, I've been through restitution myself, and some things I had to sort of leave because this is my experience. I was eager to do the restitution. And I've some people would go to everything they've stolen, you know, and give back every single cent. And you can, like, if I have to backtrack that, you know, it's going to be extremely time consuming. And there's so much, we're going to have to face a tribulation. You know, you've got to manage your time. If I have to go back, I mean, I worked in the school, like the school cafe, and I pocketed good. But you know, finding those people now, it's so counterproductive. So I'm just gonna let it be. You know, I went crazy on restitution, and at some point, like, it also, I was told not to. Restitution is for healing. If it's gonna make it worse, it's not restitution. You've got to be very careful to open up doors to people that they'll never know, you know, that they've got to be very, very, but it just sounds like she's being so guilt-ridden because she wants to grow in the Lord, get that off her chest. So it's actually amazing that she wants to grow in the Lord. It's a good sign. Otherwise, she would have never talked about it. So, but it's restitution can be a blessing, and restitution can be a curse. I've went through a nightmare with restitution in my early, when I came to the Lord. You know, you read, what was that small guy that was hiding in the tree? And he said, I'll go and repay. And I don't know how to pronounce it in English, but that sort of restitution is common in Christianity, but just like, when is it really good and when is it really a bad idea? I think giving a very precious, sort of sacred sort of information about your married life to a very, what should we say, a green, like very baby Christians, is not being weak to the weak at all. That's my opinion, but I can be wrong.
Okay. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to make a comment that I think you have to listen. Obviously, you have to listen to the Lord, and that many times in confession and restitution and that whole you're going to the Lord to find out, you know, how much you should say or whatever. I don't know that I ever hit a time maybe I'm wrong, that when the Lord told me, don't confess that, or don't try to make that right. I don't know that that's ever happened, but I think the generally speaking, unless, you know, obviously if the person is not aware that you have unforgiveness against them, then it's irrelevant. It's only in your heart that it needs to happen. But if it has actually transpired in some sort of action or reaction against another person, and that person is aware of it, then I think that puts you in a different category or whatever. But this whole forgiveness thing, especially forgiveness if people have been offended in the church, number one, I think that you have to listen to the Lord and do what he says, whether that confession is communicating to the church or whatever, or an individual, you have to go with what is in your heart. What are you know, because you have to find relief for your own conscience before God. And unfortunately, sometimes that may be a path that looks quite difficult sometimes. But if you're going in obedience to the Lord, then the consequences of that are also on the Lord. And, you know, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And, you know, it became a situation for me that agreeing with your adversary in the way and while you're in the way, and trying to reestablish and make that particular wrong right, at least by confession, is the only way of restoration. That person may not receive it or whatever, but it's the only way of restoration. But just on the another point was that this is not a bad thing that people have their expectations dashed in the apostate church. That's kind of a good sign that they were expecting something more. They were expecting something more, and it got dashed by this, shall we say, this institution. And it's kind of drawing a line and at least providing a differentiation in their mind as to, or a flag, shall we say, that something's not right in China here, type of thing. This is, something's not right here. It doesn't align up. Unfortunately, many people turn their back on God and throw the baby out with the bathwater and head for the world. But so that's, I think, where I feel the need to pray for these people, in that they've made a change, they've made a differentiation in what's happening here. But they just really need to see the opportunity to find the real God. And so, Father, would you just open up our eyes and give us the Holy Spirit, Lord, to guide us into truth. These are going to be conditions that we're going to see more and more, that people are going to find their illusions dashed by what has been represented as God to them, up to this point, and there's going to be some illusion shattered. But Father, we thank you that that is a good thing in one sense. And so we ask you, Lord, just to grant these people a heart of mercy, a heart of forgiveness, a spirit of repentance, and a heart and a desire to look to you, to recognize that what they had been experiencing, or they were seeking for, or the place where they were at was not the correct place, but you provide a correct place. You could provide that correct place in Christ for us. So Lord, we just ask you to not only prepare people to receive you, to come out from that harlot church today, Lord, but give us wisdom and grace to minister to these people with the proper words and guidance and just a direction in your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for preparing us to do your work and to abide in you and in your word and to give guidance the proper way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, Angelica, go ahead.
I'd like to pray as well. A couple of things come to my mind. I didn't hear that.
Your sound is way down, Angelica.
I'm sorry. Any better?
Not really, but.
Okay. Well, I just talk louder. Hopefully that helps. Does that help?
Yeah, that helped a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking about, scripture, we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. And that's on a corporate level as well. And also I thought about the scripture, Luke 15:7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And I didn't hear the exact details, but I do want to pray over these people, Father. Lord God, I just thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your grace on these people, Father God. I pray that you show them your word, Father God. You lead them according to your word, and you confirm with them, Father God, your perfect will. That you give them boldness, Father God, if it's repent, Father God, before the church, to repent. I can see that as a righteous thing, even if the church is unrighteous, Father God, that you would still honor their repentance, Father God, and that you would supernaturally keep their hearts, that you would guard their hearts, Father God, and see that although, Father God, they're not received, Father God, if they're not received, Lord, that that they followed your will and they'd be at peace with that, and that they wouldn't run from you or be deterred from living a life of holiness and righteousness, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. And Lord, there's a lot of churches that offend the little ones, Father God, because they're ignorant and they have no understanding. And Lord, you care about those people, Father God, whose hearts are for you. And Lord, you don't look kindly on self-righteousness, Father God. So Lord, I don't know anything about the church, but I do pray, Father God, that if these people, they're destroying your little ones, Father God, that you would dismantle it. And that, of course, you would lead every single one of the families, Father God, to you, those that will receive you, those that will walk in your truth and let go of traditions of men and the doctrines of men, Father God, and being, righteous in the sight of men alone, Father God, that you would truly call them to the kingdom of heaven. And I just thank you, Father God, that you'll lead and guide them in your way, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Jesus' name. They don't need to be a church if we're out there condemning people. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Vanita.
Yeah, I just wanted to Well, Frank's going in for one more surgery tomorrow on his back. It's just he's in a lot of pain. So they think one more thing broke off that they had put on there. And so they're going in and going to remove that. So hopefully that'll, I know it's going to take care of it. I know Lord's totally got his hand on him and he's just going to work some great things through all of this. So I'm really excited for everything that he's doing for him and through him and just the opportunities that I've had to speak the truth to him through this. So just prayer for Frank as he goes through that surgery tomorrow at around noon.
Okay. Just a moment. Benita, I'll have to apologize to you. I was trying to set up the YouTube for the praise and worship now. Somebody want to pray?
I'd like to pray.
All right, go ahead, Angelica.
Well, I'm sorry, what was his name again? I forget. Frank, right? Okay.
Yeah, Frank.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Father, for Frank, Lord God. I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Father God. And I just praise you, Father God, for your kindness towards Benita and Frank, Father God. And I lift them up, Lord. I loose the angels to surround and protect them, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, that you give them dreams and visions, Father God. That you give them great faith, Father God, to believe, Father God, that you love him, Father God, and that you're for him. And that that he's done with this whole system of man, Father God, putting his trust there, Father God. That you just give him the love and the grace that he needs to understand how much you love him and that your hand is not short, Father God, to do all the things that he needs, Father God. So I just thank you that in the coming days, Father God, you're doing that work in his heart and that you're protecting him on the surgery table, Father God. And we just bless the hands of those doctors, Father God. And we ask you, Father God, that no weapon formed against him shall prosper in that place, Father. That no wicked befall him, Father God, and that there be no negative effects of any of that medication, because he belongs to you, Father God, and we just call things that are not as though they were, as if he's already in the kingdom, Father God, and those weapons that are formed against him shall not prosper. And so I just thank you, Father God, for the good work that you started in him, in giving Benita rest and peace and strength, Father God, that you're with her and that you'll never leave them nor forsake them, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, Benita, you did forgive me, didn't you? I'm just asking.
I don't know. I'll have to take it before the body of the church here.
Touché. All right.
Is he forgiving everybody?
Yeah, I am. I'm forgiving everybody. Forgiving. All right. Well...
Sorry, Mike, I'll be quick about it. I got disconnected, sadly. I can't believe it, but I'll listen to the recording. There's just one thing that I just wanted to add. It just struck me while I was trying to get back the connection back. It's like the Lord sort of put on my heart to just say, we have to be so careful now not to get distracted with even like a spiritual thing like restitution, which can sometimes seem so noble and right at the time, because we are facing a tribulation. It's going to be so tough. It's going to be so, so tough to endure. Like, I got upset today about painting the fence. And I mean, that's so small, like, concerning if you watch, like, the Night of the Walking Dead and the warnings about the Lord and the tribulation that's coming. It's going to be so tough. We have to be prepared. And we've got to eat word like what's it, silkworms, to mature in time to be able to withstand the tribulation. So we've got to be very wise now concerning time management. Whatever we do, it has to be in line with keep preparing for the tribulation, because you can, your heart can become cold during the tribulation. It can be too tough for you to endure in Christ, and you can tear away, you know, it can easily happen to you. So rightfully so, focus on getting through this very tough time, which we all are going to have to go through. It's not going to be for the faint-hearted.
Amen. The thing that we need to remember is we're walking like Christ, remember? And if we're walking like Christ, we need to have the love of Christ. I need some prayer right now in the name of Jesus. I've got something in my heart going stupid. Oh, I command you to stop this pain right now in the name of Jesus. You go from me. In the name of Jesus, you go. You go right now. In Jesus' name.
And wholeness right now to that heart. No weapon formed against life will prosper. You be commanded to go, you devil, in the name of Jesus.
Yep. In the name of Jesus, you go.
Father God, we lose the angels to surround and protect him, Father
God.
It's impossible, Father God, for this anything to come upon him, Father God. He's got a work to do, so we just forbid it in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. God. It's gone. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I got real weak here and real bad pain, but it's gone now. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that my heart is perfect in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to last me all the way up until you call us home in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's pray for David. David Timichuk. He's been attacked really hard today, and he didn't have the strength to fight, and the enemy made me feel broken. You go for me in the name of Jesus. You go right now in the name of Jesus.
Let's pray in the spirit, everyone. I think we need to pray in the spirit.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Father. You go for me right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, we come against this condemnation on David right now. We command it to go in Jesus' name. We command the spirits that are attacking him to go from him right now in Jesus' name. We command the spirit of heaviness to leave him right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for doing it for David. We praise you, Father, for putting joy in his heart, taking that condemnation away. And all those tormenting spirits, you go from here in Jesus' name. You don't belong. He's covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We just command all this oppression off of Michael right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke this attack off his body. You go from him in the authority of the Lord. We cast down every curse, every spell, all witchcraft, all oppression. You go from him. Get off of him in the authority of the Lord. We command you to loose your hold now in the authority of God. Get off of him. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We lift up the body of Christ right now, the bride, the man-child. And we command all oppression, all attacks, all witchcraft, every evil assignment coming against the body of Christ, the man-child and the bride. We cast it down. We break its power off now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your angels that are cleaning this air up right now in the name of Jesus.
Yep. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing on all of us, Father.
Praise you, Lord.
Come on.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Yeah, it's gone. Thank you, Lord. Somebody pray for David also.
Which David?
David Timichuk and Lena.
I'll just step in. Just what I got through praying.
Heaviness, condemnation, unforgiveness.
Okay. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just thank you for David and Elena, Father God. I thank you for the good work that you're doing in their life, Father God.
Amen.
The gentle, meek spirit that you put within David, Father God. And I just thank you for giving him wisdom, Father God, for strengthening him in the inner man, Father God, and rising up a spirit of boldness, Father God, against these demonic spirits, Father God, of condemnation, Father God, that he take his position, Father God, as your son, Father God, against all the power of the enemy, Father God. And we just speak, Father God, that this will not overtake him, Father God, that he will rise up in boldness, Father God, and speak, Father God, and declare his freedom from these demonic spirits in Jesus' mighty name, Father God. And we break the power of witchcraft, every attack from Father God, from coming from him on every side, Father God. We cast that down in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We just condemn those tongues that would condemn him, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. And we just thank you, Father God, that no weapon, Father God, that is formed against him shall prosper, that nothing that is said, nothing that is done will amount to anything, Father God, if it's not your perfect will, Father God. And Lord, we just rebuke any fear, Father God, that he would be in perfect peace, knowing, Father God, that whatever you have for him, Father God, whatever changes come his way, whatever it is, Father God, that you're leading him and guiding him, because he's in right standing with you, and he's living for you and serving you and well-pleasing unto you, Father God. We break the power of the fear of man, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And I just thank you, Father God, for strengthening him, giving him an encouraging dream tonight, Father God, and Elena, Father God, for her husband, Father God. And we all stand against the demonic spirits, Father God, that would try to destroy his faith, Father God, before he even gets off the ground. We rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You're not going to be able to overtake him, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, I'm fine. I am. I'm fine. I'm healed in Jesus' name. And David is too. David's set free by the power of the blood and the power of this prayer. I bet you people are praying for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Julie. You got your hand up? Yeah, you do. That's all. I just lowered it.
I guess all that activity, I forgot what it was.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
I've never had that happen before, that to that extent. So it's not going to happen again.
I know what it was. I think it was witchcraft, because I was attacked today with all kinds of stuff, just different parts of my body. And I just kept casting it down, and I just kept, you know, praising and thanking God and coming against this stuff. So I was being attacked in my side and my knees and my foot and different things, and just heaviness and everything. Every time I tried to do something to get in the word today, I was just distracted and couldn't focus and attacked with pain. So yeah, I think that's, it's just the enemy attacking the body right now.
Thank you, Father. We lift up Julie to you, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, for your strength in her inner man, Father God. We cover her with the blood, Father God. And Lord, I ask that you refresh her spirit, Father God. And by the stripes of Jesus, she was healed, Father God. She has no curse, Father God, that is able to alight upon her, Father God. We speak healing and wholeness to her. We loose the angels to surround and protect her apartment, Father God, to stand guard and to cleanse the air, Father God, from every demonic force, Father God, of wickedness trying to come upon her, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you that she's going to have perfect sleep, Father God, peace, rest, and joy, Father God, in the Holy Spirit, Lord. And yes, that we're just going to strengthen her, Father God, in the inner man, Lord God, and just renew her spirit, Father God, and she's just going to continue on, Father God, in faith and growth and love, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, that you're with her, and that you're not going to allow this, Father God, to overtake her, in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's right. Thank you, Father. He's healed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, sister. Name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. All right, Judy, you're Sue.
Yeah, it's me. Will you all pray for Sue and Victoria? There's some demons on Victoria right now, and Sue's praying for and working with her, but we need a lot of prayer for her right now, for Victoria.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right, in the name of Jesus right now, we bind up those demons that have tormented Victoria, and we command you to go from her right now in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that your angels go right there and take care of business, and we praise you for it, Father. We command every one of them that's tormenting her, that spirit of rebellion, you go right now in Jesus' name. You go from her in Jesus' name. Self-hatred, you go right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of rejection, you go from her in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the fear of rejection, you go from her in Jesus' name. Confusion, go from her in Jesus' name. Every tormenting spirit, you go from her. Heaviness, confusion, fear, all of those, you leave her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Victoria is free, delivered, and set free once more from these tormenting demons in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to place it in her heart to get in the Word, this 10-year-old girl to get in the Word, Lord, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody else want to pray for this young girl? Well, she's free. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I'd like to really quick, Michael. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lord, we just shut the door, Father God, to all these, this just the effects of every wicked pharmakia, anything that she's taken, Father God.
Yep.
Shut the door to that witchcraft, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we command the demons to cease and desist, Father God. Sue has authority right now, Father God, because she's in her house, Father God. And we command those demons to go in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I ask you, by your mercy and your grace, to cut off the enemy, Father God, at his root, Father God, that he have no place in her mind and her heart anymore, Father God, that you would just completely restore her, Father God, in her heart, in her mind, in her spirit, Father God, from every form of brokenness, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that every fragmented piece, Father God, within her mind, in her heart, and her spirit, and her soul, Father God, be put together by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father God. And we just rebuke and do not accept the enemy destroying her anymore in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for freeing her up. Thank you, Lord, giving Sue some rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Judy, you can tell her that girl is freed up in Jesus' name.
Tracy?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay. Looks like we're going to go to about midnight for the worship part of it. I'm just kidding. Anybody else got a prayer? That's more important. Prayer is more important. Okay. Let's see if I can Michael? Get this. Yes.
Made a little breakthrough. Well, you guys were praying and we were dealing. I was dealing, Lord and I. And that, I'll tell you that when Debbie Horton sent that message in about the alligator and the boy. That was interesting. That really helped me when I saw. You know, sometimes when we're fighting a battle, spiritual battle, it's like that demon is the alligator and he's grabbing on one end and we're holding on with all our might with the Lord's help, definitely. and we're holding on and holding on to the arms of our child, you know, and the devil's trying to grab a hold of his legs and pull him under like that alligator. I don't know if y'all saw that on that, maybe.
No,
I
didn't see it.
Okay. You want me to read it?
Well, you can.
Okay. Cause that was that.
It's short, isn't it? So.
Yeah. I don't think it's that long. But it, what was interesting is that.
Well, hurry up and just go ahead and read it. if you don't mind.
Yeah. I'm looking for it right now. I'm sorry. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Here, I got it.
You got it? Okay. You want to read it?
Can you read that?
You read it.
Okay. I'll read it. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a little boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole that was behind the house. In a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran out in the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and shirt as he went. He flew into the water, not realizing that as he swam toward the middle of the lake, an alligator was swimming toward the shore. In the house, the mother was looking out the window. She saw the two as they got closer and closer together in utter fear. She ran toward the water, yelling for her son as loudly as she could. Hearing her voice, the little boy became alarmed and made a U-turn to swim to his mother. It was too late. Just as he reached her, the alligator reached out to him from the dock. The mother grabbed her little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. That began a very incredible tug of war between the two. The alligator was much stronger than the mother, but the mother was much too passionate to let go. A farmer happened to drive by, heard her screams, raced from his truck, took aim, and shot the alligator. Remarkably, after weeks and weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the alligator, but his arms, they were also had deep scratches where his mother's fingernails dug into his flesh in her efforts to hang on to the son she loved. The newspaper reporter who interviewed the boy after the trauma asked the boy if he would show him his scars. The little boy lifted his pant leg. Then with obvious pride, he said to the reporter, "But look at my arms. I have great scars on my arms too. I have them because my mom wouldn't let go." You and I can identify with that little boy. We have scars too. No, not from an alligator, but the scars of a painful past. Some of those scars are unsightly and have caused us deep regret. But some wounds, my friend, are because God has refused to let go. Oh, Lord, thank you for hanging on. Mm-hmm. In the midst of your struggle, he's been right there, holding on to you.
Amen.
Okay, amen. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, so you feel like that mom, huh?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for giving Sue the strength to endure to the end. Thank you, Father, pulling that baby out of that alligator's mouth.
You know, it's the Lord's compassion that brings that to us, to help us to do that thing, because when we love as he loved, he can use us that way. It's not in our own self. It's not in our own strength. It's his strength. It's his love that does it. But it's like every time our brothers and sisters are in a battle, we have to hang on to them. Even if they don't like to hear what we're saying, we got to hang on to them and not let them go and keep praying and keep fighting the enemy against them, because otherwise if we let go, then the enemy's got them. That's what I see, you know? So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got the victory with him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, yes, we do. We have the victory. Geneva, you might ought to consider move. Just saying. Okay. All right. Yeah, you got a weird sense of humor. Them things can eat chicken, but they can also eat other things too.
No, they are pretty big, though. There's a highway that we drive on, and they have fences all around because the alligator's in there. But there's a big one. It sits on the side, and it's got its mouth wide open, and it sunbathes. I saw a little one the other day run across the road. Sometimes they get hit. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. We don't have alligators in Arkansas. We used to, but we don't anymore. We ate them. People in Arkansas get hungry, they eat anything. All right, let's get to some stuff here. Wait a minute, I have to find the stuff first. Yeah.
There's no space that his love can't reach. There's no place where we can't find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. Take me in with your arms spread wide. Take me in like an orphan child. Never let go. Feet that you
you would bring us to a place where earth and heaven meet for your glory. Make us holy. So we have come to kneel before your throne with faith and confidence in you alone. You would heal our land and overwhelm us with your hope for your glory. Make us holy. Come like a sound of roar and thunder. Cover the earth with signs and wonders. Bring an awakening. Bring an awakening. Come and consume us with your power. Jesus, we need.
Jesus, we need you in this hour. Bring an awakening.
singing away. One more time, come and come like the sound of roaring thunder. Cover the earth with signs and wonders. Bring an awakening. Bring an awakening. Come and consume. Come and consume us with your power. Jesus, we need you in this hour. Bring an awakening. Bring an awakening. Show me your face, fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. To you right now, erase substitutes right now, fix what I see, and God, please fix me. My world needs you right now. Let us see you. The world needs
my world needs you right now. My world needs you right now.
That's why I'm not ashamed to say
Oh,
Jesus, you are.
Your grace forever. I will sing your I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes. Lord, you know all our fears. Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God. Words are not enough to tell you of our love. Just listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had a thousand years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our heart,
oh Lord, please listen.
Hear our spirits sing. Song of praise that flows,
song of praise
from those you have redeemed.
Those you have redeemed.
And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our heart. Listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the light, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our heart,
oh Lord, please listen.
Hear our spirits sing. A song of praise that flows,
a song that flows
from those you have redeemed.
You have redeemed.
And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our heart. Words are not enough to tell you of our love. Just listen to our hearts. Listen to our hearts.
Oh Lord, please listen.
Listen to our hearts. I'm so sorry. We did everything we could.
Thank you. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Appeal. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about. Tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
All right, man. Hang on just a second. I may have left some on, but it's getting a little bit late now. I did want to just pray one more time against witchcraft, because I got some messages from a few of you that said that you've been experiencing the same thing. So let's go ahead and pray against this witchcraft, against this fellowship. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we are blood bought by the blood of Jesus. We don't have to put up with this witchcraft. We cast it down, send it back where it came from. And we thank you, Father, that we don't have to put up with it. And Father, I thank you so much for these wonderful people here. Lord, you've placed a love in my heart for each and every one of them. And I praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you are protecting them with your angels right now against any kind of attacks from the enemy. In Jesus' name. I know that we have to go through trials, but you're the overcoming power that you have placed inside of us to overcome any obstacle. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And I praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in all of us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for placing it in each of our hearts to be interceding for each other, even when we're not around each other. And I thank you, Father, for doing that, placing it in our hearts to pray for all of each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Praise you, Father. All right. Anybody else want to pray before we get out of here? Or close it, I should say.
For your prayers. Bless you all.
All right. Love you all.